From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Yesterday, I taped an interview with Jacob Dunford. He's the chief operating officer at InCircle. Now, Jacob wants to make certain there is no more youth suicide, especially among LGBTQ plus youth. This population of young people are often lonely, frustrated, and suffer from depression. Why? Well, it's a bigger story than just coming out as the true expression of what many of them have felt since birth. InCircle is a resource center in Utah for LGBTQ plus youth and their families. It's meant to make these young people feel like others are in their corner. InCircle opens a new house in the Heber Valley sometime in the fall, and that adds to a house already located in Provo and another in Salt Lake City. About 60 young people visit InCircle each house each day. I taped this interview with Jacob yesterday. Jacob Dunford, welcome to The Mountain Life. It's great to have you.
Thank you, Lynn. Thank you for having me here to talk about InCircle, my favorite thing to talk about.
Well, I've heard you talk about InCircle before, and it is really inspiring. First of all, there is a very specific model for how InCircle operates. You have these very cozy homes that you host your meetings in. So talk about the model of why a home to welcome LGBTQ plus youth.
Absolutely. Well, InCircle started in 2017 in Provo. We weren't sure exactly what we were going to be, but we knew we wanted the slogan to be "No Sides, Only Love." And that slogan kind of carries InCircle through all of our programs and operations, and it's carried us to today. And essentially, no matter what color of skin, you know, or a sexual or gender identity, there's a place for you at our house. And it's worked. It's worked till now. And that model continues to help us expand across the nation, do you know? And that's the goal, that's the vision.
Well, no sides, only love is a mantra and a slogan that we all should be taking and could take into basically any forum, group, or organization that we're part of. But there was an obvious void for these kids. And it's part of why InCircle is successful and expanding indeed into the Heber Valley with a new house coming in the fall. Talk a little bit about that void and also from your own personal experience.
Well, I feel like so many folks out there, LGBTQ folks, are feeling less than. And in Heber, 12% of the high school identified as LGBTQ specifically. And it reminds me of when I was in high school. I don't know, I think probably the only signal I gave to my parents that I was gay was that I was a theater student. I just remember having a conversation with my parents at a local restaurant. I had already come out to them, and I had been on an LDS mission. And I got home, and my parents, they were like, "We love you, we accept you. We want the best for you, so why are you still sad? Why are you still feeling disconnected from your community?" And they think that maybe if they take me to my favorite barbecue restaurant in downtown San Diego, that all will be solved. You know, so we go to Lucille's Barbecue, and we're sitting in one of the booths. It's my mom, my dad, and myself. And, you know, I feel a little better, but still, there's a deep sense of totally happy yet totally sad that can't be explained. And, you know, my dad finally goes, you know, my dad was a police officer for 16 years and kind of the opposite of me, big, muscly guy. I'm this little, tiny, like, skinny. If you might not be able to see me if you from the right angle. You know, and anyways, we're sitting there at that restaurant. My dad says, "Son, why are you still so sad? What's going on? Can we talk about it?" And it comes out in the rawest way possible, which is that I said to him, "Mom and Dad, I want what you have. I want like the whole thing. The Suburban that's got like sour Skittles stuck to the cup holders, you know, the primary songs, the going to church, the community, the 9,000 kids. I wanted the whole thing. And I said, and I feel like I can't get there. I feel like I can't have it. So I feel like you're over here and I'm over here. And it's just this undeniable separation.
So let me stop you there and ask you about the difference between someone who's coming out as a member of the LDS Church and someone who's gay, who's coming out not of the LDS Church, or maybe not of some religious affiliation in particular, which believes that, in your case, homosexuality is not something that can be accepted within the structure of the church. And maybe part of my question is to clarify whether someone who grows up in a, say, secular household, whose parents are like yours, who in terms of being accepting and loving their child and wanting their best for that child, what are still the barriers for that child to be able to say, I want what you have, parents? You know, that feeling of, well, I want to grow up and get married and have kids someday.
Yeah, so, I mean, part of what happened, what we're dealing with the LGBTQ community is bigger than religion. It's bigger than all of it. The loneliness, the depression, the isolation does not discriminate, you know, and it touches everybody. And it's universally felt by, I'd say, most people. And with the LGBTQ community, it's even more pronounced. And, you know, suicide continues to be the leading cause of death for our youth, and LGBT youth are three times more likely to attempt suicide, and transgender individuals are two times the rate. And I feel like what my parents gave me was at that restaurant, they said something that changed my life forever, which is my mom and my dad said, you know what? If you're not in heaven, we don't want to go there. And if LGBTQ people aren't there, it's not heaven to us. I feel like with that gift, they gave me a sort of love that most of the LGBTQ community is really wanting, you know, which is regardless of religion or background, LGBTQ people want to know that you're in their corner, you know, and that they are bigger and that your love for them is bigger than belief, politics, whatever, that they really come number one to you. And I think the more that we can send that message to our LGBTQ community, the better off we are. And in Heber, I'm super excited for us to open there, because I think that a lot of the LGBTQ youth in Heber kind of have this perception that Heber isn't the best place for an LGBTQ person, which I think couldn't be further from the truth. And I think most of the community there, and the, you know, and in Park City and Midway, they are ready to support and to love, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that at Encircle, that's going to be proven.
Absolutely. If you're just joining me on The Mountain Life, my guest is Jacob Dunford. He's the chief operating officer at Encircle. Let's talk a little bit about statistics. That you mentioned 12%. Was that at Wasatch High School?
So I got that information from Mayor Potter of Heber. Mm-hmm. It was a self-reported survey of the high school students is what she said.
Now, how does that statistic match up against statistics throughout high schools, you know, in Utah, across the country? And then, I mean, it should be the same statistic for a community in general, no matter the age, right? But from what I've seen when I've looked up statistics on LGBTQ plus, it's somewhere around, it's one of those, it depends on what you look at, but about 5% to 8% is what I have seen. So 12% strikes me as high, but help me out on those statistics. Can you explain those a little bit?
I mean, it's pretty universal, as you mentioned, but, you know, what's being looked at by a lot of the researchers right now, but more people are dealing with gender and sexuality than we originally thought. And it's more of a spectrum, and it's not as black and white as we originally thought. So, you know, most of the statistics are ranging between 9 and 12% nationally of people who identify as non-heterosexual and cisgender. So something on that spectrum. So it's everybody in our communities.
Right. Well, and if most of us who consider ourselves heterosexual were to think about at any point in our life, have we ever been on that spectrum? I think many people would say yes. You know, maybe it's a thought, maybe it's a dream, maybe it's something you've acted on. But I think that, yeah, it's such a funny statistic in a way, because how do you define a real solid black and white statistic on something that's not black and white at all, and as you say, is on a spectrum? And do you think that if we all sort of admitted to ourselves that probably at some point we're all on a spectrum, whether it has to do with gender identity or sexual orientation, that there would be a lot more inclusivity and understanding?
I think so. I think you're probably right. I mean, the thing that we're battling right now is, I think when you come out of the closet, or let's just say you identify as something non-heterosexual cisgender, it's pretty scary because you feel like whatever you say, mom and dad, I may not be the boy you thought I was, or I may not be gay, or I may not be straight, or I may not be, like, whatever it is, whatever you come out as, I think the biggest fear is that you kind of have this perception that whatever you say next is going to be written in stone.
Great point.
You know, and that, like, that is how you will be looked at and identified as for the rest of your life. I can't tell you that is going to be further from the truth. I mean, at Encircle, every single week, people are discovering more about their identity, and it continues to evolve. I mean, most of our middle school and high school students that attend services, it's not uncommon to hear things like, I'm not really sure who I am. I'm still figuring that out. Mm-hmm. Very common.
I have a friend whose very young son from the get-go just wanted to be a girl. And they embraced it to the extent that at Stanford University, and they live near Stanford, and there's like a center for transgender studies or something like that at Stanford, as they have centers for many interesting things. And they took him there, and from the onset, it was, you know, embrace it, let this child be who this child is going to be. Sometimes the child might want to be a girl and dress like a girl, sometimes like a boy and dress like a boy, and sometimes maybe it's a mix of both, and just embrace it, and eventually that child will come to where they want to be. It has provided that child with such stability. And I don't know why I'm telling this story, other than, I guess, to illustrate how important it is for our families to give that support, and also to educate. Relating this back to Encircle,
yeah.
Does Encircle help out parents as well, or is it just a place for kids?
Well, absolutely. And kind of to illustrate your point, when we're dealing with, you know, these LGBTQ conversations, it's comforting to say, this is written in sand, mm-hmm. or we're building the plane as we fly it. You know, those are both really kind of relieving statements, which you would find in a parent support group or a parent therapy session at Encircle. The last parent support group I went to, it's a lunch program at Encircle Salt Lake City. There were 15 parents there around the lunch table, and all of them individual of each other. And it was weird week to come, and maybe it's always like this, but every single person had a transgender child that had come out in the last year. There were a few parents who were like more veterans in it, and it had been like 3 or 4 years. And I just remember sitting there, and I didn't say very much, but, you know, some people are crying saying, I don't know what to do. Like, I feel like, you know, my kid wants me to take them here and to do this and to try this medication, and I'm petrified. And the other parent that had been there for like 4 or 5 years literally laughed, and she was like, oh, I've been there. She goes, everything's fine. And just to watch the connection and the peer-to-peer sort of love and support It changes everything. One of the things that we've realized at Encircle is you can tell a parent what to do. You can give them booklets and pamphlets and website links and videos. It helps. But the studies show that nothing does more than a parent watching another parent model good behavior. That's where most of the learning happens. And so there's lots of that in Encircle, and about 25% of our therapy sessions are LGBTQ child with the parents present.
Let's get into a little bit more what you do at Encircle. So there's a house in Salt Lake, there's one in Provo, and then there's one coming this fall, hopefully if construction happens in the way that it never happens for anyone, where it happens on time. But yeah. I know that you guys, not only have you raised money really quickly, and you're, well, of course you're still raising more money, but you want to get shovels in the ground when?
We hope in the month of March that we can do a groundbreaking, put shovels into the ground. What's been incredible about Encircle is, you know, we wanted to open this house in Heber, and so we put it up onto the internet, and we say, okay, hopefully some people donate. You know, we set a goal to raise, I think, $100,000 and cross our fingers and hope to die, right? And we launched that campaign on Giving Tuesday, so that was December 1st of last year. And within 30 days, we had raised over $650,000 for the Heber House. And what was interesting about that, it was all made up of locals. We had over 750 local donors who were all contributing with what they could to bring this house to Heber. And so it just proves my point that the people of the Wasatch Back are so excited and willing and ready to do this and to support our LGBTQ young people just as quick as they can.
I know also being only 20 minutes from Park City, and you had sort of had that conversation about building the house here. Of course, it's much more feasible to do in Heber City. Heber City is expensive enough, but Park City's way more expensive. It's only 20 minutes away. Have you had a lot of interest in families from Park City?
Yeah, the response from not only Park City, but all of the surrounding communities has been incredible. We've had all the mayors and city council people reach out, and I want to think, and I believe this, but if there ever was a time to build in circles, not only throughout Utah, but the country, it's certainly today, because people are responding with such a willingness to help that we haven't seen in the past, and it's been incredible.
Is Encircle only in Utah at this point?
Encircle is only in Utah at this point, but I hope that that's not true for very much longer.
I suppose a lot of your programming is after school hours. You kind of leave school, you go down to Encircle, you go into this wonderful cozy home, and what do?
So at Encircle, when you show up, it's open Monday through Thursday right now from about 3 to 8 p.m. And those hours will be expanded once COVID becomes goes away. I think the most important thing that Encircle offers is therapy. Excellent mental health services. You can book it online. It's super accessible. We make it very affordable, and we subsidize every single session. The average client pays $25 for their session. Some less, some more. And it's all on a sliding scale. So I would definitely encourage folks to explore that option. But there's a plethora of other things in Encircle offers that if that feels a little nerve-wracking, you could schedule a tour just to get a walk through the house, kind of meet the people that work there, meet some of the clinicians, and get a vibe. In addition to that, we've got friendship circles, not only for parents, but for youth and young adults. And those are kind of broken up by orientation, age, and identity. And then in addition to those support groups or friendship circles, there's evening programs that happen every single night of the week, art night, music night, writing night, that are just really fun. And other than that, it's a safe space just to drop in unannounced, unscheduled during those hours to just be, do some homework, and know that in this space, you are loved exactly as you are. And you can meet other people just like you.
How many kids come who haven't come out yet to get help with how to do that?
I don't have exact numbers on it. What I can tell you is over 60 people visit an Encircle House every single day. Some it's a little more, some days it's a little more, some days it's a little less, but that's about the average. Of those attendees, when I've sat in the houses, it's not uncommon for someone to walk in and say, I'm here to volunteer, I just want to help. You know, I'm a student at the university and I saw this on the internet and I want to come help. And then like 3 months later, they come out of the closet. You know, not uncommon. But I think what's nice about Encircle is that you don't really have to like show your gay card when you walk in. You really, no matter how you identify, there's a place for you at Encircle.
In sort of wrapping this conversation up, Encircle is a nonprofit or for-profit?
It's a nonprofit, 501c3 organization here in the state of Utah.
Which means, because I know nonprofits, that even though you had an abundance of outreach and support when you announced the Heber House was opening, I can't imagine that you raised twice as much as you wanted to. So where are you with that, and how can people get involved and donate if they want to?
Absolutely. When I think about supporting a nonprofit, I'm always concerned about one thing. Where's my money going? You know, like I don't want it to go to some executive salary or a filing cabinet or a bunch of printed like photocopies. No, you want your money to go direct to the services, helping pay for therapy and the services that directly affect the people you're caring about most. You know, and Circle has a way that people can donate and know exactly where their money's going. It's our incredible monthly donor program called The Home. And basically you get onto our website and you can join The Home. And it's a community of donors that give monthly $5, some give 10, some give 35 bucks a month. But when you go on, you can specify which house you want your money to go to. So you can, if you're living, you know, in Salt Lake City and downtown and your kid goes to the Salt Lake City house, you're going to select the Salt Lake City home. Maybe you can select the Heber house today. And then you can specify how much you want to donate to that house. And then Encircle gives you the 100% guarantee that 100% of your dollar is going directly to the kids, families, and services and costs of that exact home in your local community. And you'll get a monthly impact report on how we're doing and how your money has been spent. You know, and I tell you what, our goal is to have probably between 200 and 300 people sign up to donate monthly for the Heber home. And I think we're well on our way. The momentum has been incredible. So if you have it in you, 5, 10, 13, 15 bucks a month, get onto our website. It's encircletogether.org and join our monthly donor program.
And that's Encircle, not Encircle. I say it the same way because I'm, you know, from Utah.
Encircletogether.org. That's a great point. Yeah, get on there, join. You know, we're also on Instagram, same exact thing, Encircle Together, Facebook. If you come to any event that Encircle's hosting, it will also be publicized on there, and you can join our mailing list to get information about that. But if you come to any of those events, surely I will be there or someone from Encircle giving you this exact same pitch to join the monthly donor program. So you'll have lots of opportunities.
All right. Well, Jacob Dunford, Chief Operating Officer of Encircle, encircletogether.org. Thank you so much for joining me on The Mountain Life.
Lynn, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.